السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, after the namaz I'm just thinking what subject to speak on, but as you all know, our subject is that we must connect ourselves with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, must give up the sins of our lives and get peace, happiness in this world and in the akhirat. So before I discuss some ash'ar of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub rahmatullah alayhi, since this is a majlis where different things are discussed and it could be beneficial for somebody or the other, then my mother passed away at about 1 o'clock, and alhamdulillah at 4 o'clock the janazah salat took place, and by 4:15 she was buried. 3 hours. My father passed away at about 11:15, or just close to 11:30. 2:30 was the janazah salat, and within 15-20 minutes the burial took place. It's not that we do not have relatives and family members far away from here. I have first cousins in Kimberley, my father's own nephews, they are in Botswana, they are in Johannesburg, there are different places that we have relatives and family members. And there were many of them who were desirous of coming down for the janazah salat. But my suggestion to them, in fact it was more like an order to them, that do not try to dash down for the janazah salat. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that do not delay 3 things. A girl, when a suitable match is found for her, she is of marriageable age and a suitable match is found, the person has got akhlaq, he's got deen in him, he's working, he's earning reasonably, he can maintain and support. So then don't delay the marriage of these type of young girls. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا خَطَبَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيزٌ. And when there is a proposal that this has come from a person with whose character, with whose deen, with whose akhlaq, with whose iman you are happy and satisfied, then do not delay. If you are going to do that, then it's going to create widespread dissension on earth. It's going to create fitnas on earth. Just yesterday I received a letter, or this morning, in which this girl from the Transvaal, she is studying somewhere, and she heard the series of nikah talks. I think they played those tapes. I had a series of nikah talks here, and those tapes were played over Radio Islam. So she happened to listen to those talks. So she says that I am proposed for the past 2 or 3 years, and I've already had 2 abortions, but still my parents say that I am young to get married. I must complete my studies, I must do this, I must do that, and I don't know what degrees they have got in mind. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that don't delay. When a suitable match is found, then don't delay. We are not saying that the first proposal that comes as soon as she's of marriageable age, then whether he's a daharuka or he's a casino gambler, just give him your daughter. We are not saying that. Make some tahqeeq, but if the person is of good conduct, then don't delay it. Salat, when the time of salat arrives, there is no doubt plenty of time for Zuhr Salat, for Asar Salat, for Maghrib Salat, for Isha Salat. Like Isha Salat you can still make at midnight also. But as soon as the time sets in, especially for the women folk, if they are going to say that we will make it just now, because there's no Jamaat Salat, so many of them then miss their Isha Salat and they go to sleep. Or many of them miss the other Salats, because Shaitan says plenty of time, plenty of time, plenty of time. So for the men folk, they should make an effort to get away to the masjid nearby, wherever it is, and make namaz with jamaat. But if the masjid is far away and you are making your namaz individually, then don't delay it. Don't say, after I finished watching this program, then I will make salat. After the football match is over, or after the cricket match is over, then I will make salat. Na'uzu billah, we have given preference to the spot over salat. And we can just imagine what is the state of that person's iman then. So salat, which is a pillar of deen. Nabi alayhi salat wa salam says, Man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar. The person who gives up one salat purposely, he has committed kufr. What a hard word he has used. I mentioned many times in my talks that it is the ihsan of these jurists, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and others, that they gave us a meaning to that word, that the person has committed an act which is similar to that of the kuffar. That the kuffar, they don't make salat, so this person, he has emulated, he has sort of done something which is very similar to an action of the kuffar, and they saved our lives. Otherwise, the person missing one salat purposely, without any valid reason, then faqad kafar, the person has committed kufr. That is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. Therefore, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, that is his mazhab, that the person who misses out salats, he doesn't make salat, then don't even make his janazah salat, don't bury him in a Muslim qabrastan. Now that is the fatwa of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, and his mazhab, Hanbali mazhab, is what Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh follows. So his fatwa is the same. Now all of us who proclaim our love for Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh and Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how can we be missing salat? And there is no valid reason. Business reasons, sport, marriage, walimas, and just see the number of people that are missing out on their salat. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh says, arrest of all of them, put them into the prison. In Afghanistan, people who were shaving their beards, so they said that these people are going against Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hukam, but the punishment is not going to be whipping or anything of that nature. Arrest all of them, put them in prison. When the beard grows one fist length, release them. So now when they put them in prison, everybody is pulling his beard to make it one fist length quickly. So now people call that human right abuse. They can call whatever they wish to. But each and every one now there has a beard. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, those who don't make salat, put them into prison. When they make sincere tawbah that now we will make salat properly 5 times a day with jamaat, then release them. So you can see how important an order of salat is. But this is not my subject. But that is the second thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when the time of salat comes, then don't delay. Make your salat. And for the men folk, make an effort. Go to the nearest masjid and make it with jamaat. The noor of jamaat is different. Then again, our namazas are weak. If we make it individually, then we know what kind of salat we make. At least in the jamaat, there could be one pious person whose salat is accepted. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the barakat of that person, will accept the salat of all the others. Allah ta'ala will not reject it. It is like buying a box of tomatoes or potatoes. If there are 2 or 3 rotten ones inside there, then you don't open the box and you take it out. You buy the whole packet or you buy the whole box and it comes as a package. So in the same way here, when the person is with the jamaat, then with the barakat of the namaz of the others, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will accept his salat too. And the third one was the burial of a person once the kafan daf arrangement has been made, ghusl has been given. I'm just giving you an explanation. The qabr has been dug up, all paper formalities have been completed. Then don't delay it. If the person is pious, then let him go and benefit from all the good deeds that he did in his lifetime. The good deeds that he did, now let him go into the qabr. Allah Ta'ala will open the door of Jannat and he will get the fragrant breeze and he will sleep till the day of Qiyamah like a new bride sleeps. Nam ka nawmatil arus. So why should we restrain him in our homes? Let him go and benefit from his grave becoming a garden from the gardens of Jannat. What is better, to keep him in our home or to allow him to enjoy now a garden from the gardens of Jannat? And if the person was evil, mischievous, full of fitna and full of corruption and fraud and zina and all kinds of things, then too, take him off your shoulders and put him into the grave and make dua of maghfirat for him. But don't delay. Let him be buried and make plenty of dua of maghfirat for him. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. But the thing is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was his strong recommendation, in fact instruction. Yes, if there are formalities to be completed, there is a murder case, or the person is in the mortuary, or for some other reason there's some investigation taking place, or the qabr, because of heavy rain, it could not be dug up early. So for these reasons, if it is delayed, it is understandable. But just because one person is coming from Johannesburg, one person is arriving from Cape Town in the evening flight, or he has taken a drive from Timbuktu or Honolulu and he'll be arriving tomorrow, so now you wait. Imagine the kind of problem that people experience just because of one person, the inconvenience to others, that the burial then has to take place late at night, and sometimes it's dangerous, sometimes it's very cold, yet that person could have passed away at Zuhur time. But why have they have delayed? Because some visitors, some family members are expected from distances. So those people who were desirous of coming, I told them, if you stay where you are and read even 3 times Qul Huwa Allah and send the sawab to my beloved late father, that will be far more pleasing to me than that you dash down here and in the process you could even meet up with an accident or anything else. So we should not see who arrived and who didn't arrive. As soon as the janaza is ready, bury the person. It makes life so simple and so easy. Then we won't even have to put up a tent and have a feast. Because if the person has passed away at about 10 o'clock and we are going to say burial after Isha, then those people who are going to come, they will require lunch, they have to have supper. Everybody is not going to keep a fast and come to the janaza salat. There too, it is our duty as neighbors, as friends, that people who have come to the janaza salat, we should take them home. Say there is mayyat there at that home, so you come with me and I will give you lunch, I will give you supper. But here what happens is that poor person passed away, now preparation has begun for lunch, preparation for supper, and then again the menu is being discussed, and after that there's a feast as if some wedding is taking place. So look at the beautiful teaching of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, it is my nasihat, and if you call it wasiyat, because we don't know when we're going to die, that if I have to die, don't even wait for the next salat. As quickly as possible, don't even wait for the world to come to know. As quickly as possible, have me buried. And this is what we should be saying to our children. We should be making this wasiyat, this nasihat to our children. That within 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever is convenient, as long as the qabr has been dug, because of the delay of the qabr, sometimes there is a delay. But otherwise, my experience is this, that from the passing away of the person up to the digging of the grave, formalities, completion and burial, maximum 3 hours is required. Maximum. In fact, if the qabr is ready, you can do it even under that. And see how easy and comfortable and convenient it becomes, that the people who will be arriving, because you are making it quickly, So at the most, people within a distance of 1 hour, 1.5 hour will come. So immediately after the janazah salah, they can go back home and have their lunch, supper, whatever it is. How simple, how beautiful, how easy Islam is. If only we put this into practice, the non-Muslims will say that Islam is the best. But we have no example for the non-Muslim today. They see exactly the same thing that they do, we do. If they sit whole day and night, we do the same thing. And then the men folk go to sleep and the ladies are sitting from Maghrib time till next day after Zuhur. So let us put this into practice. These majlises are for putting things into practice. We have heard, we have listened far too long. At least if just this gathering here says that it is our nasihat, our wasiyat to our children, our wives, our families, loud and clear. So people always worry about what the nasihat was. At the time of death, they say, father's nasihat. They say, no, then we must make it. Mother's wasiyat. Then they say, no, then we must do what she said. People are concerned about wasiyat and nasihat, especially before death. So if we are going to make this wasiyat, we don't know whether we will get time. So from now, we must consider it as wasiyat. Because we must consider our last day or last namaz, every namaz that we make, consider it to be the last namaz of our lives. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Amir of the Jamaat, who was traveling all over the world, but he said, if I pass away on one station, I'm traveling, and I pass away in the train, then the first station that comes, find one qabr nearby and bury me there. That was his wasiyat. But yet, what they did is they waited, and after that they brought his janaza over to Delhi. But there was a reason for that, because there was a lot of argument that was taking place there, and it could have led into a lot of problems. People wanted him to be buried here and buried there and buried there. So they said, best thing is take him back to Nizamuddin. But this was his wasiyat. So as we put this into practice, it will make life easy for us. It will make it easy for the people that are coming for the janaza salat, and it will make it easy for everybody else. Because attendance of janaza salat is farz-e-kifaya. But to put so many people into inconvenience just for one person's sake, how can that be justified? Just one car has left from Johannesburg and they're on their way. So now 6 hours we must wait. Or somebody has left from Cape Town or Port Elizabeth, and it'll take 10 hours to arrive. So now everybody is sitting and waiting. So this is one thing that I thought, it just came to my mind now, that if all of us can do this, I made my wasiyat and nasiyat openly in front of all of you, and you go and make it in front of your children or front of your brothers or family members or parents, that this is my wasiyat, that if I die, give me quick burial according to the sunnah. And make dua maghfirat for me. Sufficient. Sure. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to implement it. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh, in one of his nazams, he says, Ab to ajeeb haal hai, jo hai guna halal hai. Ab to ajeeb haal hai, jo hai guna halal hai. عیب بھی اب کمال ہے گردش روزگار میں. So it's a very strange condition that we find ourselves in now. That since we have made it halal. جو بھی گناہ ہے حلال ہے. At least there was a time when at least people used to consider sins as sins. But now we find every way of justifying a sin. Some means, some way we must justify it. Twist and turn the meanings of hadiths and Quranic ayats and somehow justify the sin. Make haram into halal. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that the time will come when wine or sharab will be given a different name and it will be drunk. It will be made halal by giving it a different name. Call it tonic, call it anything else. And the person will drink and he will say, that I'm drinking something that's halal. Interest will be given a different name and people will make use of it. Now they call it dividend, profit, you can call it what you like, give it a different name. If it is profit, if it is dividend, according to Sharia, then alhamdulillah, there is no sin in using it. But I'm talking about what is clear-cut interest. Lots of people, they have 50,000 rand, 100,000 rand, some family member says, what are you going to do with 100,000, where you are going to invest it, or 30,000, where you are going to invest it, so just put it into my business. And I will give you a share of the profits. And the share of the profits is going to be 8% or 10% per month. I will keep giving you 100 rands a month or 500 rands a month or whatever, a fixed amount. So now this person takes his money and gives it to this family member. Now that family member also thinks that this is now an investment because he has declared a dividend. Whereas a fixed profit, it is interest. A fixed profit is interest. If the person has got 100,000, then he must invest it like a business venture. That person has got a certain amount of stocks or he has got certain amount of cash and you have put in so much. Now because he is going to be the working partner, therefore he can have a higher percentage of the profits and this person can have a lesser percentage, that is permissible. But to say that leave your 30,000 here or 100,000 here and you will get 10% every month I will give you or every year I will give you, then that becomes our interest. But he will call it profit. So the name will be changed. So he says, jo bhi guna hai halal hai. In these days he says all kinds of sins. You can have dramas, concerts, music, have all kinds of haram and then call it art and culture. All kinds of haram, just label it art and culture and call it Islamic. Just use the word Islamic and everything becomes halal. The simplest and the easiest thing today people have found is to label a thing Islamic. As if Islam is so cheap that you put it on anything, it fits in there. Any haram kind of show to just call it Islamic show, Islamic fashion show, Islamic concert, Islamic this, Islamic that, then plenty of intermingling, photography and videoing, and all kinds of haram will take place and they will call it Islamic art and culture show. At least consider it as haram. How long are we going to play with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tolerance? If it is our weakness, then admit it. Confess before Allah. Acknowledge our weakness. Ya Allah, I know it's haram. As a Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali, one person told him, I just can't give up shaving. He says, if you cannot give up, then at least do this much, that whenever you are putting the blade on your cheeks, then say, Ya Allah, me kitna kamina, kitna nikamma, kitna nakara or bekar hun. How useless I am, how sinful I am. I am ashamed of the sin that I am committing. Give me the tawfiq of giving it up. So at least make tawbah and then shave. So you'll get the tawfiq of giving it up one day, inshallah. But don't be proud about it. How can we justify Muslim men and women being photographed holding hands and advertisements in newspapers and they are at this show and that show? Somebody gave me a cutting, na'uzu billah. Where is our shame gone? Where is our haya gone? Call anything Islamic today. It's simple and easy as that. Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon us. Ab to ajeeb haal hai, jo hai guna halal hai. Aib bhi ab kamal hai, gardish rozgar mein. Even weakness today we have turned it to be a kamal, greatness, perfection. What a beautiful show it was, they say. Praises we lavish on haram today. This is the reason why we can't enjoy our ibadat, we can't enjoy our zikr, our tilawat. This is the reason why when we get into a majlis of deen, then we are like a fish out of water, restless. We just want to get away. We don't find peace. We don't find sukoon. And when we make plenty of tawbah and istighfar, and when we purify and clean our hearts, then immediately we come into a gathering of deen, then we find sukoon as if the fish is in water. So do not give lavish praise to anything. In fact, lavish is a big word we are using. There is no question of praising anything that is haram. How can a person praise something that has displeased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Irrespective of who is doing it, whether it's an alim or whether it's a mufti or whether it's a qari. Somebody told me, he says that a certain Maulana, his daughter will be traveling overseas and she will be meeting big personalities and she will be doing this and doing that. So I said, does that become deen? If a Maulana does that, does it become deen? Our deen is not what the Maulana does. Our deen is what the Quran and the Sunnah is. This is a sign of Qiyamah that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has predicted long, long ago, that a time will come when these type of things will happen. But we must make dua for whoever is in any kind of sin, that Allah Ta'ala must get them out of those sins. We must not consider ourselves as very pious and very righteous and very God-fearing and of great kamal. We must thank Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, must make plenty of shukr that He made us associate with people of deen and to be in good company and to be people that are frequenting the masjids and listening to talks and nasihats of deen. We must make so much of shukr. For if it had not been the tawfiq of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we do not know where we would have been to. We do not know which cinema, which theater, which clubhouse, which casino, or which prostitute quarters we would have been in. Allah Ta'ala must make our hifazat. Ameen. The more we make istighfar, the more we make tawbah, the more we consider ourselves as insignificant and unworthy, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He will give us elevation. We don't have to search for it. So say, Aiba bi ab kamal hai. Weakness should have been considered as weakness, but we consider it as a kamal. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. How beautifully what he has said 50 years ago. How true it is. Because what he said is exactly what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted from those days. He has put it into nazam form. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. Say, what a kind of revolution has come in our society. What a kind of revolution has come. He says, dil has become kabab. The Ahlullah's dil, the people who have got heart, which is throbbing with the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their hearts are becoming kebabs. How we fry kebabs on hot fire, in hot oil. He says, looking at the condition, their hearts are becoming kebabs. What do we know what they go through? To us it means nothing. What we see outside means nothing to us. One Buzruk got very high temperature. So when they asked him what happened, he said, I had my gaze lowered and I was walking. And suddenly or accidentally my eyes fell on something that was not to be seen. But it was something that made me get this high temperature. That what is happening in the society. Now something that we see every day and means nothing to us, it gave him high temperature. Their dils are becoming kabab. And who is the cause of that? We are the cause. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. They say now that there is sawab, there's rewards in interest and in gambling. One person went to a moneylender and that moneylender charged him 9%. So when he questioned him, told him, you are a Muslim, I'm a Muslim, how can you be charging interest? He says, you see, if you go to the bank, they're going to charge you 20%, 25%. So if I'm charging you 9%, I'm sure Allah won't be displeased, He'll be happy. Nauzu billahi min zalik. If this is not exactly what he is saying, Allah will not be displeased. He say he'll be happy that I helped a Muslim brother at a lower rate. Now, if this is not tahreef of the Quran, then what is it? And this is the truth what I am telling. That he says the bank is going to charge so much, so Allah will be pleased that I am charging you a lower rate. And the lotto and other things that are in vogue now, we all know that charities will be distributed. Charitable institutions will benefit tremendously from the gains of gambling. So our hearts also melt. That if I have to buy a ticket or if I have to win, then I can give plenty of charities. If I win 10 million, then I can give half of 5 million charities. As if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasures have been exhausted now, there is no more halal left. Allah ta'ala is badly in need of our haram charities. Allah ta'ala does not require 1 cent of our haram charities. He doesn't accept it. He rejects it. He throws it back at us. And it comes back with curses. So how can we call that charity? There are people who have got plenty of zakat money. They ask us questions. Can I take the zakat money and put it in the bank and get the interest on it? And then the zakat money can keep accumulating and the interest money can be distributed. And many have done this. So this is exactly what he is saying. Brothers, it's time that we get up from our slumber and sleep and indifferent attitude towards deen. Otherwise, we will never find peace. Just this morning, I was replying to a letter from a young girl, and she writes that during the holidays, I restrained myself from all other haram and sins, but then I was trapped on computer games. And she says, I began to enjoy it and I kept playing, but within 2-3 days I found restlessness in my heart, restlessness. So then, because she had heard tarbiyah lessons and other talks, so she says, I thought that I'd rather try it out, that for the 2-3 days let me stop this and see if this is the cause. Because Maulana always says, restlessness comes with all these type of things, so let me see if this is the cause. And she says, a strange thing happened, that as soon as I gave up that for 1-2 days, I found peace and happiness again in my heart. So I replied that this is one more incident of proving, or more evidence now, substantiating the claim that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives peace and happiness when a person restrains himself from haram. Although it was just games. But if that was causing restlessness, then what about all the filth that we watch on the TV? You think it won't bring restlessness? Husband-wife fights, children-parent arguments, family members all disunited, at loggerheads, at each other's throats, all these causes. Many things we don't know. We can just see the symptoms. The causes, they tell us there are so many things we don't know, could have caused this. Fever, many things could have caused this condition of ill health. So like that, this spiritual ill health also is caused by many things. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hain ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. How can there ever be rewards? How can there ever be sawab in interest and in gambling? Dunya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Dunya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Yehi agar bahar hai, aag lage bahar ve. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we'll continue next week. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اے اللہ اب تو ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما، ہم پر کرم فرما، ہمیں معاف فرما. او اللہ فرگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس، فرگیو اور میجر سنز اینڈ اور مائنر سنز، فرگیو دی سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ نوئنگلی اور ان نوئنگلی، فرگیو دی سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ ان دی لائٹ آف ڈے اور ڈارکنس آف نائٹس. او اللہ فرگیو اس، فرگیو اور پیرنٹس، فرگیو اور وائفز اینڈ چلڈرن، فرگیو اور فیملی ممبرز، فرگیو دی انٹائر امت آف رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq of making amal on whatever we hear. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq of making amal on the Quran and Sunnah. Ay Allah, Teri Zaat-e Aali ke upar hamein yaqeen naseeb farma. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, with your love, with your ma'rifat, with your yaqeen. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the itaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, all the goodness and all the khair that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for the ummah, bless us with that khair. Bless our parents with that khair. Bless the entire ummah with that khair. And from all the mischief and all the corruption and all the fitnas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection, O Allah, protect us, protect our parents, protect our wives and children, protect our family members and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Ya Allah, if our parents have passed away, اے اللہ بلس دم بجنتل فردوس. اے اللہ ان کی قبروں کو تو کشادہ فرما. اے اللہ جنت الفردوس کے اندر اعلیٰ مقامات عطا فرما. اے اللہ ان کے احسانات ہم پر بے حد تھے جس کا ہم صحیح معنی میں شکر ادا نہیں کر سکے. ان کی خدمتوں میں جو کوتاہیاں ہو گئی ہو اس کو تو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ان کی قبروں کو تو جنت کے باغیچوں میں سے باغ بنا دے. اور برادرز اینڈ اور سسٹرز، اور فیملی ممبرز، the entire ummah of Rasool e Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whosoever has passed away, Ya Allah, fill their graves with noor. Fill their graves with noor. O Allah, overlook and forgive all their sins. And Ya Allah, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala an-nabi. يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.